Well, today, you know, we're here today, and I just want to reflect a little bit on some of the things that were shared on the last video. But it was one of these things, like I shared in the Sunday school already, that one part really hit me about light. And Stephen had said, "Light is there to expose it." We should not be surprised by things that come up in our life. And especially for us that are Christians, for us that are led by the Holy Spirit, because I believe God has put that there in us. He has put the Spirit within our spirit to lead us and to guide us. And how many here already know that the Holy Spirit has helped you go through something? He's guided your path when, you know, there's those times even, you know, we've shared about this in the past too, to where you're supposed to be going somewhere and you maybe make the wrong turn and, oh, it's going to make me 10 minutes further, or you get stuck by a train, or you get tied up somewhere that was not planned, and you at first would get frustrated, like, oh, I'm going to be 15 minutes late or whatever. And then you find out that, you know, if you'd gone down that street, or if you'd gotten at that railroad crossing, or if you'd gotten to that intersection at that time when you probably would have, you could have been very well involved in an accident that had just taken place. And I believe that's one of those times that the Spirit is protecting us and leading us. You know, we could probably look at many of us here and say, could you show one time or share one time in your life where maybe something like that has happened, to where, you know, had I been there like 3 minutes earlier like I should have been, that could have been me in that car. As we go through, and I think of this at times as we travel and just going through our town. And it happens at the times when you hear of a tragic accident and a life is lost. And my mind plays back to the thought, what was taking place in that time frame 3 minutes before that happened? You know, what was that family talking about? What were they thinking about? Not knowing that 3 minutes, 2 minutes, a minute and a half, that next intersection or next road or whatever the case is, or going down the interstate, that tragedy strikes. I go, man, because it's all just like that. Life can be snuffed out in an instant. And it may be a lot of times where it had nothing to do with you. It was just you were at the wrong place at the right time for that to happen, that took a life. And we can get very whatever, you know, trying to think these things through. But then I have to believe, and that's why I'm so thankful for God and the Holy Spirit, that He's there protecting me. And we pray He's protecting our family. He's protecting our grandkids. He's protecting our loved ones. Amen. And I'm sure you have those prayers too, don't you? God guard them. God protect them. God be there for them and guide them and protect them and shield them. And in a world that we live in, and the world that we live in is no different than the world that was 500 years ago, 300 years ago, 10 years ago, 6 months ago. It's a world of things constantly changing and can happen. And how thankful I am that God is my God. How about you? And that I can have someone that I can trust and know that they're a God of their word. So last week, in that video, The Haunted Heart, the point that was made at one time was, let light expose it. Expect it and expose it. Many things in our life, if we really think about it, we can look back and boy, and that's, do we say, boy, hindsight is 20/20? If I would have known it was going to happen, I could have made a different decision. But there are some things in our life that come upon us and that we're a part of, and we had some wonderful times of sharing just today back in Sunday school, and I'm not going to go into what was all shared, but as we reflect back, we had those inclinations maybe within us at times of this, that, or the other. And it doesn't make anything wrong that was shared back there this morning, right? We're all going through life, and we're trying to do the best we can. None of us get up in the morning and make decisions and say, gosh, I hope I fail today. You know, I hope I meet somebody wrong and build a relationship with them, and I just hope it all goes to, you know, out the window. We wake up every day looking forward to having a good day. And the more for us, as we are Christian, as followers of Christ, we just sang, count your blessings. I wake up in the days and begin to think, Lord, what a blessing this is. Today is a blessing. Today is a gift. I'm here. I've got health. I got enough health to get up out of bed. I got enough health to do this or do that. Thank you, Father, for that. So not a lot should really surprise us, you know. It's like, if it does surprise us a lot of times, it's because we were not paying attention. Same as in the natural, you know, when you're involved in a fender bender. I didn't see it coming. Well, it was coming, you just weren't paying attention. You were focused on something else. For an active Christian in the kingdom of God, not too many things should surprise us. Now notice I said an active Christian. What is that? I believe it's an active Christian is that you're listening to God. You're going to God on a daily basis. You're paying attention. You're asking Him things to lead your life, to lead this day. Lord, let my conduct, let my actions today glorify You. I think that's an active Christian. You know, it's like, okay, God, You're here and I'm here, and what's going to happen? I want to be glorify You. I want to bring light into this place. You know, I want people to see You in me. Being an active Christian, we should see so many of these things coming. And it's not to say that we may not be blindsided or whatever at times, but I think a lot of times, and I think what Stephen was pulling out of a lot of these videos is that sometimes what we're going through and what we're dealing with, it's because we've allowed it. We've allowed things to come in to this sphere of where we're at. You know, we've allowed it by whatever it is. Just, oh, it won't be a problem. Oh, I can overtake that, or I can take care of that, or I'll just do this for now and then get rid of it. And there's times that a lot of it comes in through other people, our friends, our connections, our family, you name it, our job. We allow things in. And so it's very important for us to guard. It talks about guard your heart. You know, I believe we need to guard our heart, guard our mind to the things around us of the world, and set our heart and set our mind on Christ and things above. And to be guarding that is not like I go through this day in fear, like, oh no, what's going to happen? But I go through this day with just the understanding that I've talked to myself to say, I need to keep focused on kingdom. I need to be focused on God. And I will do the things of this life, and I'll work and do this and go here and go shopping and go there, whatever. But I've always got to have that one part of me listening and tuned into Him, into His kingdom. How about you? We need to be tuned into that kingdom. We should be walking and yielding ourselves to the Holy Spirit. That's why the Holy Spirit is with us. I don't think you can say enough about the Holy Spirit. You cannot have enough teachings on the Holy Spirit. We just need to continually be reminded of the Holy Spirit, amen? And that it's not just something hoo-hoo out there and never-never land, or it's just somewhere in the heavenlies. No, the Holy Spirit is dwelling within us. The Holy Spirit is leading us and guiding us. Jesus says that. The Holy Spirit is going to teach us and take us into all ways of God. That's how we're going to communicate with God where we're at today. So the Holy Spirit is important. Don't leave the Holy Spirit at home. Don't leave the Holy Spirit in church. Don't leave Him anywhere. You know, just like with God, you know, take Him. God is everywhere, you know. And He's all-knowing. Well, we've got the Holy Spirit to lead us and to guide us and to help us. My scriptures today, I want to look at just a couple of them, but in John 3, 20, 21. John 3, 20, 21. In John 3, 20, it says, "For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed." Now, just before that, in 19, and this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world and men loved darkness rather than light. What is it with men and women, it's people? What? With men? Oh. Later, 5 o'clock for the full report. Why is it that men and women, we would rather stay in the darkness than allow the light to come in to expose the deeds of darkness? We want to live in this world of, if nobody sees it and nobody knows it, they won't be able to know about this. We live in that. But for those of us that have come into the light, let this light, it says here in 20, everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, and they have been done in God. Now, deeds and things of that nature, it's our things. What are we doing? If you look at that, been done compares to work, to be busy, to accomplish something, to carry on a trade, to produce things, to be engaged in. As we are being used by God, the light of God should shine through us and expose clearly the things of God. We don't need to shine the light and expose ourselves out there, because people, who wants to gravitate just to Ina or just to Tim or Don or Willie or any of us here? Who wants to gravitate to them? We want them to come to God through Jesus Christ. And what is shining forth is that light of God. So it says, but he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God. Many people don't want their lives exposed to God's light because they are afraid of what it'll be revealed. They don't want to be changed. Isn't that something? How many people out there really don't want to change? They kind of like want to change, but they don't change. They want a better outcome than what they've got, but for them to realize to have a better outcome, something's got to change. But so many people don't want to change. They like where they're at. They like what they're doing. They like their situation as far as, I can do what I want, go where I want, do what I want, do this, do that, do this, do that, do that, and go all the way down this path, and then guess what? The end result is the same thing that they don't really want at the end. But the path they're on, the things that they're doing, the outcome is not going to be any different than what it was yesterday or last month. If you want a different outcome, you've got to change. God's light will help us change. So again, many people don't want their lives exposed to God's light because they're afraid that it'll be revealed and they just don't want to change. It's a hard thing, change. I can think of things and people that I'm aware of, things that people go through, and it's a battle. And the thing is, they know it's not maybe good for them. But the thing has got such a hold of them that they can't change. It's rather than them in the beginning, they had control of it, okay? You think of it. Whatever the habit, whatever the situation. They initially brought it into their life. Another thing that Stephen exposed to us was like, what you're going through and some of those problems that you're having is that you've allowed it in, you know? And it is what it is. It's not to say you're a bad person. It's just we've allowed it in. It's life. It's things that we think, well, a little bit won't hurt it. But then in the Word of God, we find out where it speaks about a little leaven leavens the whole loaf. You know, just takes a little bit of sin, takes just a little bit of aggravation that, oh, I can handle that. But it multiplies. And before you know it, you got a lot of aggravation. You got a lot of situations taking place. So if I really look back at the beginning of where this all happened in my life, per se, if I was looking at that, I would say, golly, it started back when I allowed this in. And once I allowed it in, I thought I could control it. And for a while there, I was controlling it. But then what happens after a while? It gets to be controlling who? Me. And pretty soon, I am being controlled by something that I've allowed into my life. Now, In the natural, let's look at alcohol or drugs or something that's really addictive in those areas that a lot of people start out, they go, well, I'm just going to be a casual drinker. I'm just going to be a casual drug user, you know, just a weekend, just to get high, just to forget things of what's going on in life. And they start out that way. And if they don't maintain that level of I want to control it, pretty soon it begins to control them. And it wrecks havoc on their life. Many people coming out of some very hard addictions, it's like this stuff now has them. It's got such a hold of them that they can't even shake it personally, individually, by their own power. Because this outside source has got such a pull on their body now. It takes a lot of prayer, takes a lot of help, maybe a lot of counseling, just a lot of interdiction of trying to help people get through those things. But if it would be honest to look at those things, it's like somehow they got the foothold in me because I have allowed it. And I've got to be strong enough to go to God to say I need to be changed. Change me, O God, or put me somewhere that it'll change, you know, through the resources that you have in some kind of counseling sessions here on earth or through some organization, through a church, through a help group or whatever. But we have to truly believe and understand that where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord. And it's going to be a thing where even when I pray to God, Lord, help me get out of this situation. Guess who still has the will to do what they want? I do. We can pray all we want. We can cry out all we want. We can come to God all we want. We can say we'll do this or do that. And God, help, help, help. And God will say, I will. I am there to help you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. I am here. And then something doesn't happen and we go, well, God, where were you? I cried out for you and I've asked for help. But we still have that personal will within us. Before we probably go crying out for God's help, maybe we ought to pray, God, break my will of myself so that I find your will. Take my will away. I give it to you, God, because I know that I need to have God's will in my life, not Tim's will, because my will is predicated upon what I see, what I feel, what I want, what I think is good for me, what I don't know, whatever the case is, what I look at and what I think probably is not going to be the exact same thing that God thinks. Do you think? Because I have got to get to that level of, yes, salvation, and then I've got to get to the level of allowing the Holy Spirit into me, allow that light into me to expose those deeds, to expose those things within me so that I will not be surprised, and so that as the Lord will expose these things in me, but if I don't truly come to Him and say, take these things out of me, forgive me, help me, if I say all those things, but yet there's still some part of my will hooked onto that thing, what happens? I'm saying a lot of prayers, but God is hearing. God's responding, but my will is nullifying what God is doing. And then I get frustrated. God, I've been praying for this for 6 months. I've been doing this and trying to change or do this or do that or whatever the case might be. I know you're a God that hears me. I just know it. What seems to be the problem with you, God? Well, if I was honest and true and allow that light all of a sudden when I'd say, what is wrong with that, God? What? Here, look at this. All of a sudden, I allow God's light to come on to expose it within myself. Then I'd go, oh, dink, you know. I understand now. I need to really surrender this whole thing, lock, stock, and barrel to you, God. And I got to trust you. I think a lot of times in our life, if we can't, for some reason, in the thought process or in the physical way, of tangibly holding on to something, then we, of course, know that we don't have total control over it. You know, if I hold on to this bottle, I've got total control over it. But if I just leave it here and whatever the case is and I'm not touching it, I don't have that control. But I'm going to trust God to hold on to that for me and provide that for me. But I don't know if God can provide that. I'm going to hold on to it, though. So when I need a drink of water, not a drink of anything else, a drink of water, you know, then it'll be there for me. But in my faith and where I need to be with God is saying, God, I'm going to put that bottle of water there. And when I'm thirsty, Lord, I'm going to trust you that that water is going to be there for me. And when I need it, it'll be there for me. And when I need you, you're there for me. That I don't have to hold on to these other things in my life so that I've got a life preserver, that I've got a lifeboat that I can jump into when I think you're not listening to me, God. It's where God's light, let him expose these things in our life so that we can change. And so that as we do these things, the deeds, God's good deeds, shine out. And when people see those good things shining out, who gets the glory? God. On the other hand, we should, now this is the deeds that we're talking about here and as we look in here, but the truth comes to the light that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God. These are things now that I'm doing, that I'm serving in his kingdom. So as I look at this, it's on the other hand, we should not want our deeds to, on the other hand, we should want our deeds to be exposed, but not for pride, but for others to see God working in our lives. How are you going to draw people to God unless they see him working in your life? How do you talk to someone about something that they don't see in you? Let me share about a loving God. Let me share about a compassionate God. Let me share about this type of God. And they look at you and they go, I don't see love in you. I don't see compassion in you. And you're talking about this God thing and I don't see that light in you. I think these are the lights of the deeds that God shines out to those around us. We'll get there, I think, in Matthew in just a minute here, I think. It's not for pride, but it's for others to see God working in our lives. People will look at you, and what will they notice? What are they going to notice when they look at you? Well, I don't have the scripture here, but in Galatians, I've got the fruit of it in Galatians. So what is it that they will notice? What is it that they will see shining forth from you? Remember, we're talking about the Holy Spirit is leading us and guiding us. And there's gifts and there's fruits and those things that God has for us. And this is a fruit that we're looking for. So what kind of fruit are you bearing? So we look at this in Galatians 5. And you get down into the 22nd verse, and it talks about things of what? But the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and long-suffering and kindness and goodness and faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. How many here would love to see all of these attributes in someone that you know or someone in your family or whatever, there's a friend. I would love to see love and joy and peace and long-suffering and all these things exhibited from that person. Generally, if they're exhibiting from that person, who gets the benefit of them? I do. You know, if they're walking in love and gentleness and all, those are parts of those lights that are shining out. Now, as we look at this, the love, joy, and peace, you know, these things here concern our attitude towards God. As we look at God, love God, we have joy and peace in God. Those are the attributes. Those are the attitudes that we have towards God. But I think those are those same things that we want to have towards our fellow man. Our love and our joy and our peace. Things that deal with our social relationships would be the long-suffering, the kindness, the goodness. But how many times have we also, you know, things of God, we are long-suffering. You know, it takes some time. And then for our conduct as a Christian, The last three would be this: faithfulness, our gentleness, and our self-control. So, as it's broken down in the fruits of the Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is what's giving us this, love and joy and peace are our attitude towards God. Long-suffering, kindness, and goodness would be the attitude to our social relationships. And for our Christian conduct, it would be our faithfulness, our gentleness, and our self-control. If they see all or some of these qualities in you, they are seeing the fruits of the Spirit. And it's only this that can be done. Who can create those in us? It says here in a study Bible I had and reading it, it says, only the Holy Spirit can produce such qualities. Not our own efforts. Now, we may try to create these things, right? But if we do it upon our own abilities, our own strength, will they be long-lasting? Will they survive? Generally not. Anything that we do on our own abilities, our own efforts, our own strength, they're short-lived. But if we are filled with the Holy Spirit, walking in the Spirit, allowing the Holy Spirit to speak into us, that God speaks through the Holy Spirit into our lives, we will should be able to begin to exhibit these qualities or these fruits that only come from that of the Holy Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. If people see that in you, I think they would want what you've got. We've talked a few times, many times, and the times that we're in and things that people go through, and as they're, you know, running around like Chicken Little, like, the sky is falling, the sky is falling, and they look at you and you're self-controlled and you're gentle and you're whatever, you're at peace, they're going to try to figure out, how can you be that way? And it's something that we would probably honestly want to say, well, I tell you what, if it was just myself, I would probably be looking just like you at this situation. I'd be running around, the sky is falling, the sky is falling. We're in dire needs, it's going to fail. But there's a different light in me. I've allowed this light to come into me. And this light is shining out, is showing that fruit. It's showing that of peace, of tranquility, or whatever we want, of that ability to have gentleness or self-control. You know, if you look at all those areas, and even looking at the situations of today and all of our society, and even for all of us here today, is we need those abilities. If you want to really survive and live and enjoy life, you need to have self-control. You know, we need to have peace. We need to have love, that gentleness, that kindness. We need these things in our life. And I would hope that I've got all of these nine working within me. You know, it's like three and three and three, the triad of the fruits of the Spirit, kind of like the thing, you know. But it's like we would love to have, and I hope we're working on all of these, that they're effectively and actively moving within us. And, you know, Lord, if not, expose one. Use the light. Shine on me what I, you know. Yes. And even myself. You know, the last several months of being able to be at peace and being able to be gentle and just self-controlled, things are going to be working out okay. You know, life does throw you a lot of stuff, doesn't it? Every day. And even when everything is going well, throw in this or that into the mix and just stirs it up even a little bit more. And then pretty soon you begin to doubt and wonder and if and how long and what's this going to do and oh my goodness, what's taking place? So even as Spirit-filled, even as I believe I'm led by the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit's in me and I listen and I hear and there's been wonderful conversations throughout the last 20-some-odd years, 25 years with God, there's still even today where there'll be something that will get me moving in the area of, you know, anxiety or anxiousness. Anybody else here moved in anxiousness or anxiety in the last 6 months, 3 months, 2 weeks? But it's noticing that happening And thank God for the Holy Spirit, because He brings it to light. Because before that, I was moving in anxiety and anxiousness all the time, and it just seemed like a normal day of life. Didn't He say at one time that we are, for a lot of people, if you talk about anxiety or being anxious, to them, that's an everyday occurrence. A lot of people today, and I and you would probably be the same way if we lived in that world, we would just say anxiety and being anxious is just the norm for us. But it's the abnormalities of it. Because God's Word says, be anxious for nothing. Anxious and anxiety are kind of interchangeable, but God's Word says, be anxious for nothing. God wants us to walk in peace. Amen? God wants us to be in comfort and the joy and self-control and gentleness. He wants us to walk in these fruits of the Spirit. Because if you can do all of those fruits of the Spirit, in the long run too, it's going to be good for you in health. Amen? Because if you can keep joy, self-control, you know, all of these things, and be at peace. Anxious and anxiety causes ulcers. Tied up knots in your stomach. You try to eat something and you know where it lays? Right there. And it's like, you know, gosh, get it down. But our body, it's almost like there's our anxious. And didn't He say something about knots? Where just things are just tied in knots. And your body, if you look at it as, you know, just superimpose it, you can almost sense like, oh my gosh, my body, you know, my intestines, my stomach, it's just in a knot. And we end up with problems and health and ulcers and things that are bad. Bad enough as an ulcer that if you get a bleeding ulcer and it's not taken care of, you'll die. Worry will kill you. Anxiety and anxiousness will kill you. I'm so thankful for God's Word. Be anxious for nothing, Tim. Rest in Me. I'm there. I promised never to leave you, to forsake you. In Ephesians 5, I'm going to talk verses 8 through about 14. My Bible here, prior to that, the beginning of 5, you're talking about walking in love, you know, to walk in love, not a bad thing to do. In verse 8, Ephesians 5:8, my heading starts off with walking in the light. For if you were once in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord, walk as children of light. Ephesians 5:8-14. Ephesians 5:8-14. So for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord, walk as children of light, for the fruit of what? The Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. Or reprove them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifested by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, He says, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Arise from the dead. You know, you correlate darkness as that of death. I think the things and the God of this world, notice that He would like to keep us in the darkness. He would like to keep us under the shadows of not seeing what's happening and not to be exposed. But God brings light to expose these things. He brings these things to help us understand. And until it is exposed in your life, and until you understand what's taking place, you won't change, do you think? You've got to see it. You've got to see it to believe it. And the only way you're going to see it is by that of the light. So Ephesians 5:8-14 helps us there. And it does say, you were once in darkness. How many here were once in darkness? I was. But now you are light in the Lord, but and you walk as children of light. As people are filled with His light, our actions should reflect our faith. We should live above reproach, morally, so that we will reflect God's goodness to others. Jesus is stressing this with the Sermon on the Mount. Now, if we just go back to that, in Matthew, the Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew 5, so in Matthew 5, the Sermon on the Mount, and this is where we get towards the end in 15 and 16, but it starts off here in 13. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. And then verse 14, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Thank you, Lord. Let's see. Thank you, Father. Yes, Lord. So through His teachings here, He's telling us about the light. He's actually saying that you are the light of the world. You feel that in your life? You know, Jesus is in the red here. You are the light of the world, speaking to His followers there. Your light needs to go before you. And so as we look at these things of the light of God in us, the light can guide your path. I know it was shared in Sunday school about, you know, if you just start going through scriptures and looking at light and the Psalms, the light of the path, you know, your path is lit by that light. Light will guide you. So light will guide you. Light will protect you. Light will expose things. Light will show things. You know, God's light does a lot of things. Amen. And so as we look at that, we need to be walking in that. We need to be looking for that. We need to say, Lord, let Thy light shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. And remember, that light that we shine out should be the light of Jesus. Amen? The love of God. You know, we look at that, and it's just like so magnificent. It should draw people's attention. You know, you just notice things that are bright, you know, in the night sky, when the stars are out, there's always a star that's brighter than the others, you know. And your eyes get fixated upon that star. Out of all the other ones out there, you all of a sudden you can see that one that's just twinkling brighter than anything else. Well, we look at that, and if we look at that in our walk with Christ, and I'm going to tell you, and we know already, there is a lot of darkness out there in the world, amen? And it's always been there. Darkness has always been there in the areas of what man is doing and what man is trying to conjure up to do. But we also know that, you know, the god of this world, being that of Satan, desires destruction and desires to destroy and desires to just create upheaval in anything and everything that he can do, as long as the people are willing, as long as people have that strong built-in will within themselves, the devil will just let them have fun. But if God gets a hold of us and gets a hold of them, and that light of God begins to expose these things, we can do some fixing of those things. We can expose them, and I think once they're exposed, then we turn them over to God. And as we expose the light on those things that need to be changed, then His light begins to shine in us in a way that shines out, that people see a difference in us. And it's all for the glory of who? God. So that is where we talk about light will expose the good and the bad. Amen. Thank you, Father. Heavenly Father, as we think of the times in our life as we've had you involved in different situations, and as we've come to you in a greater measure, Lord, and how your light does shine and expose things, and Lord, may your light continually shine and expose these things and elements in our lives, Lord, that helps us understand what needs to be adjusted, needs to be changed, or may need to be gotten rid of totally, Lord, as to give an honor and bring glory to you on all of our walks. We thank you, Father, for your light. And Lord, as we have changed, and as you are in us, Lord, may those around us see you in us. And it's not to glorify us, it's to glorify you. And may we be an example. May we be of help to someone around us, Lord, that needs that light in their life. And that we can direct them to the light that we have. And Father, we thank you for your Holy Spirit to prepare the hearts of those that we would even come into contact with. And that, Father, you would draw them in, that you would prepare their heart to receive those things, Lord, that you would have for them. And, Lord, whether it's through us sharing a simple prayer or just words of encouragement or just being something that they can visually see you working in our lives, Lord, we thank you that we are a part of your kingdom. And keep us strong, we pray. Keep us alert to the things around us. And Lord, those things that may have come on and attached themselves, even now, Lord, as we have continued to work for you, Lord, and there's maybe things that are not glorifying to you or whatever the case might be, Lord, that these things can be gotten rid of, that, Lord, you would just remove them from us, that we would repent from them, Lord, whatever it is, just to get to that level, Lord, of just honoring and glorifying you, Lord. As the one area of that fruit of the Spirit, Lord, talks about the attitude towards you of our love, our joy, and our peace, Lord, may we totally have that towards you, Father. And that attitude of our social relations, Lord, of suffering, long-suffering, and kindness and goodness, and the guide of our Christian conduct of faithfulness and gentleness and self-control by that of the Holy Spirit, Lord, we ask for these fruits of the Spirit. May they ever be, ever so working in our lives, each and every day. And in those areas that maybe we need to fine-tune and do a little better in, Lord, let that light of yours expose those areas in us so that we can change and change for the good to bring honor and glory to you, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I want to wait on you for your giving, and remember missions that you may have.